We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
And happy Saturday to everybody out there. It's April 14th, the year of our Lord, 2024. And this is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports, as I am every Saturday morning from 10 to 12. Talking local sports, mainly high school. But today, a little bit of Fresno State talk. Actually, a little bit. More than a little bit of Fresno State men's basketball talk. Vance Wahlberg is a hot topic. We're going to get to that in just a second. But I love doing my show here at First String Sports. They've been my day one sponsors. Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon on the east side. Come on in. Open from 9 to 5. Do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room. On the right-hand side when you walk into First String Sports. See Letterman's Jackets from Madera, Clovis West. Looking to my left right now. Sanger West. Sanger, Sunnyside, Fresno Christian. On my right, Edison, Matilda Torres, Central, Bullard. It's going to be a lot of Bullard talk today. It's just kind of the way the show lined up. Behind me, Kingsburg, Clovis High, Parlier, Clovis North. This is the only place where you can get your Letterman's Jackets. Every Saturday, I see parents come in with their kids. They're either getting their jacket sized, fitted, get their patches on. So come on down here to First String Sports. They are awesome. And, of course, all the wonderful equipment that they have. Spring is in the air, right? Softball, baseball equipment, that's their best sellers here. So big thanks to First String Sports for sponsoring all the great student-athletes and 1430 ESPN. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors, or the station at 1430 ESPN. Now it's time for the Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating Weather Report. And I'm sure if you guys have been out today, you've noticed a different feel in the air. Well, it's 63 degrees right now with a high of 68. And yesterday felt pretty darn warm. Not Central Valley warm, of course, but pretty warm comparative to the temperatures. We were able to broadcast San Joaquin Memorial and Bullard baseball yesterday. So that we had wonderful weather for that. But there's a 55% chance of rain at 4 o'clock today. And it's funny when I look at my weather app on my iPhone, it's always these percentages, right? So I mentioned 55% at 4 o'clock. It's like 35% at 1 o'clock. However, there's an overall percentage of 75% that it's going to rain at all. So I don't understand those numbers. But anyway, most likely it's going to rain early in the afternoon, probably tomorrow as well. And then Monday is going to pick back up. And I think I even saw in 10 days it's going to reach 90 degrees. So we're going to be wishing for this weather, definitely in the summer times, but in about 10 days, we're probably going to be wishing for these high 70s weathers as well. So thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring the show as well. Like I mentioned, huge news with the Vance Wahlberg hiring at Fresno State on multiple levels. If you guys watched the news or saw clips online of the presser yesterday, God, there was a tons of people. Everybody was there. All the media outlets, a few national ones as well. I even heard that outside of the presser at Fresno State, there were about 100 people trying to get a peek of what was going on, trying to get a glimpse of Vance Wahlberg. It is a huge, huge deal. Last week on the show, we broke down the final two candidates, me and Gabe Camarillo did, between Wahlberg and Ryan Pinone, who was assistant at Alabama. It was the day of the Final Four. We were speculating. We were hoping that they would name a coach by then. And I think we were about, well, I was like 100% sure that Vance would be named the coach. There were a few people out there like, oh, it could be the other guy. But in my heart of hearts, I knew it was going to be Vance. He was endorsed by George Karl, John Calipari, Nate Oates. They had wonderful quotes about him. He said, you know, even Calipari, story's been told many, many times of how he derived his offense when he was at Memphis and obviously now at Kentucky, or not anymore, changed his tune to Arkansas. But when he was at Kentucky, he used Vance Wahlberg's ideas all the time. Nate Oates credits Vance Wahlberg. Nate Oates went and watched his practices at Pepperdine. They traded emails when Nate Oates was a high school coach. And now he was a Final Four coach last week. And Vance, you could just see the joy and the excitement on his face during the press conference. If you guys remember back in 05, Everyone thought that he was going to get the job coming out of Fresno City. The program was a little bit in flux, a little bit of issues. So they went with Steve Cleveland to try to clean it up a bit. And so Vance, he always held that in his heart and hearts that he wanted that job. He said he would drive by the Save Mart Center and see the Bulldogs playing at this time, and he would always ask himself, what if? What if that was me? Where would my life be? He wanted that job so bad back then, and it was always, always on his mind. Yesterday, Tony D on the Bulldog Hour had a wonderful conversation with him. I didn't know that Tony D and Vance were that close, but they've been talking for years and years. It was a great, great interview. Great interview. And go back and listen to that. You could go back to 1430 ESPN, click on podcasts. It's a wonderful interview. He was very upfront and honest. He even said, man, at that time, talking about 2005, we went to Pepperdine, said, I wasn't quite ready. There were a lot of things I didn't know at that time. Obviously, times have changed. And some of you that may have some questions about Wahlberg, some of the things from the past, throw those away. Throw those away. He is just as competitive, believe me, if not more competitive. But he said he's learned a lot. And now, at this stage of life, at age 67, he is ready. And I believe it because I've seen it. No one will work harder than Vance Wahlberg at this job. It is going to consume him in a good way, because he wants to put out a winner for the Central Valley, for the people of Fresno and the surrounding areas. Absolutely. And he will do everything within his power to bring an exciting brand, to bring people in the seats, which, heck, I wish I had inside information on how many season tickets have been sold since they announced Wahlberg. I'm sure it's going to go up. I can't wait till the first game of Save Mart Center. You better believe I'm going to be there. That place is going to be packed. It's going to be an exciting brand of basketball. Obviously, he needs players. He's working on that. He's been working for the last couple weeks just in case this would happen, him getting the job. He hired John Welch. That's a home run hire as his right-hand man. Home run hire. Welch played for Jerry Tarkanian when Tark was here, coached with Tark. I believe their paths crossed, talking about Wahlberg and Welch in the NBA with the Denver Nuggets. I remember seeing Coach Wahlberg on TV sitting on the coaching staff. Oh, man, there's Wahlberg. There's Fresno's own. There's Clovis West's own. Fresno City's own, Vance Wahlberg. And now he's taken over the program. Super excited. I think all of you guys are excited out there about what the style of basketball is going to look like at Fresno State. It's going to be exciting. No more walking up the court. No more slow basketball. We're not going to see games in the 50s. We're going to see games in the high 70s and 80s, heck, maybe even in the 90s. Vance said he walked in and was able to watch a little bit of a scrimmage, you know, pick up basketball in the gym. Saw some guys walking up court. He's like, man, guys, in a week or so, no one's going to be walking that basketball up the court. We're going to be running. You guys are going to be in the best shape of your life. So I don't think I need to convince you guys what a great hire this is. I'm excited. I've watched Vance for the last 6-7 years on the sidelines. Second go around at Clovis West, obviously followed his career. But home run hire for the Bulldogs. I've never seen a community be more excited about a coach at Fresno State. So can't wait to talk about that with George Ciccotti. He's coming up around 10:35. You guys know George. He's a friend of the show. He's was a sportscaster for a long time here in the Valley. He loves his Bulldogs. He knows Wahlberg pretty well. And he's got some information about the hiring process. A couple questions about that. I was pretty curious, right? We know we got our guy, but interesting with what happened with the hiring process with Coach Wahlberg. So can't wait to talk to George Ciccotti. It's coming up around 10:35 live here at First String Sports. At the top of hour number two, I mentioned we're going to talk a lot about Bullard High School. We got a couple Bullard Knights in the house. Andy Zvorak, whose son Beckett is a senior on the team. Brady was also a very good player for Bullard High. They're coming on the show. Andy was recently inducted into the Bullard Hall of Fame last Saturday, an event that I got to go to. And, there was five total guys that were inducted into the Hall of Fame. Each got some microphone time, which was a little bit dangerous. But Andy is a great guy. I love talking baseball with him. So him and his son are coming on the show at the top of hour number two. At the bottom of the hour, Derek Kuhn, the head baseball coach at Liberty Madera. His Hawks are the defending D4 champs. They keep it rolling this year. They are 18-2, looking super strong. Actually lost this last week. They only played one game. They lost to Fowler. They were 18-1 before that, but 18-2 now. So Derek has done an amazing job. Got to watch their game against Emmanuel in the Valley Championship game, Central Section Championship game, I should say. And he's a class guy. I can't wait for you guys to listen to him and get to know him a little bit more. Also, I want to mention that Mike Brink and I broadcasted the San Joaquin Memorial Bullard baseball game last night. I should say yesterday afternoon. They don't have lights at Bullard. Bullard won 11-4. They put up an 8th spot in the second inning, 3 runs in the third inning. The Knights are now 7-0 in CMAC play, and I don't see them losing in the CMAC. I'll be honest with that. They're 14-7 overall, winners of their last 11 out of 12. The Panthers are now 3-4 in league, fall to 10-9 on the season. Owen Thomas started on the mound, got the win, went 4-plus innings. So a good win for the Knights. They look really strong. They're top of the lineup. They're 1-6. I might as well just say they're 1-9. Their 1-9 hitters are really good. Take walks, put the ball in play, all those things that Tom Donald is known for, the head coach at Bullard. Big news on the coaching front in football. Donnie Arax, he was announced as the head coach at Central Valley Christian in Visalia. They are the defending D2 champs in the Central Section, and we all know that they won the state title, state D2A title. Coach Mason Hughes surprised a lot of us, including me, when he decided to take a job coaching at COS. So Donnie Arax is moving in. And we, if you're familiar with Central Valley Sports, you know the name Donnie Arax. You also know that he was let go in the middle of the season from Bullard. And he's resurfaced as a coach. Didn't take him long. He had a career record of 178, 128-1, that one Valley championship with a really good team they had. In the early 2010s, I believe it was 2012. I could be wrong on that, but yeah. So Donnie Arax, new head football coach at Central Valley Christian, a private school, so it's going to be a little bit different scenario for him. But yeah, if you know Donnie, you know he gets after it as well, a fiery coach. So we'll keep tabs on that and see how that goes. It's never too early to talk about football, right? Speaking of Bullard, again, Jamie Maxey, the longtime softball coach, alum, part of the 1998 Fresno State Softball National Championship team. She got her 500th win yesterday, quite a milestone after defeating Edison. So congratulations to Coach Maxey on that. She is a wonderful coach. She hates the spotlight. She hates it. I've heard that she's like, no, I just want to coach. I just want my players to thrive. And 500 wins, that is quite an accomplishment. Another great accomplishment, a couple actually I wanted to mention before we hit the break here and bring you some rankings and a few more baseball scores and softball rankings as well. We haven't done that for in a while. Bubba Smith, an excellent two-way player for Fowler. Really good quarterback. Led the section, actually, in passing yards this year. He's a really good baseball player, two-way player, pitches, hits. He hit 3 home runs in a game against Carruthers last week. How about this? 2 grand slams and a solo shot. Great game for Bubba Smith as at Fowler. And yesterday was senior day for Clovis West. And Tyler Patrick, 4-year guy, his dad, Kevin, the head coach, had quite a senior night to remember. He hit his 4th home run of the season. I saw a video. Absolutely crushed it. He's been lights out on the mound as well this year. Good to see him bounce back. Didn't have a great year last year. I think he'd be the first to admit that. But, man, he's putting it all together. Signed with Fresno State. So congratulations to those two guys. A couple standouts this week that I wanted to mention on the show. Really quick, Aaron. I know we got a couple minutes before we hit the break, but how about Bryson DeChambeau, the Clovis East grad, had a quite eventful 2 days at the Masters. He's leading with a couple other guys, shooting a minus 6. He's teeing off today at 11:45. But do you see what he did yesterday? He fired a shot in at the 14th in the fairway, but a sign with directions to the other parts of the course was in his way. So what'd that dude do? Well, he picked up the sign, and he moved it. There's a few really good pictures out there, and we know that Bryson DeChambeau is bulked up. So he played groundskeeper, ripped the sign out, and moved it and put it in another spot. He estimated afterwards that it was about 30 pounds. So he's carrying around a 30-pound sign. All the onlookers are like, what is this guy doing? Well, his plan worked out to perfection. He birdied the hole, shot a eight under, and for the day, and then tee off again, like I said, at 11:45. But what a dude. That guy is crushing it. Hit a 370-yard drive earlier I think on the 17th hole. But anyway, we're rooting for Bryson DeChambeau, Clovis East grad, and Masters. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit about the rankings. And then after that, George Cicada is coming on. You're listening to 1430 ESPN. Got a little bit of everything in that opener. Talked about Vance Wahlberg, the hire at Fresno State. High school sports is on the docket for the rest of the way. Well, we'll be talking with George about that coming up after this. But I definitely, we haven't done this in a while, but I want to talk about the rankings in both baseball and softball, just so you guys can get an idea of who's playing well, who has the better record. So I'm going to start with softball. So I'm going to go by Max Preps. Again, it looks like they didn't populate some of the games that were played yesterday. So I do know this. I do know that in a huge matchup in the track, that Central beat Buchanan in softball. And with Max Preps, Buchanan was actually ranked number 2. Central was 3. So that's going to flip-flop. Central's the defending champs. They got a really good team coming back this year. But the number 1 team, according to Max Preps, is St. Joseph from Santa Maria. 14-2-1. They have a strong strength of schedule record as well, or ranking, I should say, or rating, 17.3, whatever that means. Central is at 16.4, but Buchanan, again, is going to fall behind Central. So right now it's going to look like St. Joseph will maintain number 1. Central will jump Buchanan in the 2 spot. Buchanan will fall to number 3, but Frontier of Bakersfield is ranked 4th. Centennial is ranked 5th from Bakersfield as well. Another Bakersfield school. Bakersfield Christian is 6th. Don't believe they are D1, though. So probably going to be a Division II team in the playoffs. And there's Bullard at number 7. Mentioned Jamie Maxey won her 500th career game at Bullard yesterday after they defeated Edison. Kingsburg, check this out. Kingsburg, I don't want to tease it too much, but Kingsburg's ranked in baseball in the top 10. So Kingsburg is ranked number 8. In softball as well. They are 14-4-1. Clovis North, 12-4. And then another Bakersfield school, Liberty Bakersfield, 15-4. So that's the top 10 in softball. Let's switch to baseball right now. Clovis North got a really good team. Been able to watch them in person. They beat Clovis High in the championship game of the Fresno Easter Classic. And they swept Clovis East this week. As you know, the track plays 3 games in 1 week. CMAC plays 2, but the track plays 3, so you got to have arms for sure. But Clovis North swept Clovis East, so they are, well, they're going to be number 1 until they're going to be beaten in track play. Clovis is ranked number 2. And how about this? Clovis is coming off another sweep like Clovis North, but they swept Buchanan. So Buchanan drops to now 7-9 overall and 0-3 in track. When was the last time we've seen this? Maybe never. So Clovis is ranked 2. Liberty of Bakersfield is ranked 3rd. Cabrillo of Lompoc is 4th, 16-1. But their strength of schedule is definitely lower than all those other top 10 schools. They don't play as difficult a schedule as any of these top 10s. Their rating is only 4.3 compared to, let's say, Clovis, who has the highest at 13.7. Frontier at 5 from Bakersfield. They got a strong ball club. Bullard, number 6. Mentioned that they are 7-0 now in the CMAC. So there are the Knights and Tom Donald at number 6. Bakersfield Christian, another school I mentioned in the softball rankings. They're ranked 7th, 13-5. They got a couple really good arms. So they're going to be a D2. They're the defending D2 champs. So they won't be an issue for the D1 teams. And then there's Kingsbury that I mentioned. Softball, they're in the top 10. Baseball, they're ranked number 8th. Got a really good team. They beat Clovis West earlier in the season. Redwood of Visalia, they are 9th. Stockdale is 10th, and they're good, as good as anyone. They're a dangerous team. They're 12-7. And Liberty Madera, might as well mention them. Coach Derek Kuhn is coming on the show at the bottom of hour number 2. Liberty Madera sitting at 18-2, ranked 11th. They've played some big boys as well. They're not afraid of track schools, as they weren't last year. So, again, this year they got a strong schedule and a strong team. Kerman is ranked 12th. I might as well go down all the way to 25. We got Clovis West at 13. Rigetti from Santa Maria at 14. Pioneer Valley, 15. Tascadero, St. Joseph, CVC. There's Buchanan at 7-9, 19th. And there's Fowler, Mission Prep, Ridgeview, Centennial, Tulare Western, and Exeter at number 25. All right, so there's just a little teaser about some of the softball and baseball teams that are doing well. Again, Max Preps rankings. It's a computer. Don't know the algorithms, but they're not the eyeballs, right? They're not the eyeball rankings where somebody's at all the games and you rank them according to how good you really think they are. It's a computer, so that's Max Preps. All right, we're going to be talking with George Sakata. He's a friend of the show. Everybody knows who George is. That big Fresno State men's basketball hire, that is huge. We're going to talk about that. And maybe a little bit about the A's. I know we discussed the A's, and there's George right there across from me. He's got his A's jacket on. He's a lifer wherever they end up. So love talking with George. You're going to love to hear about his insights and what his thoughts are about Fresno State and much, much more. You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Intro music. What do they call those, bumps?
Yeah. Yeah, those are the bumps, yeah. I like a little mix, right?
Yeah.
I like some fast song to come into, some orchestral songs. But, yeah, anything is good. Anything is good. Hey, always good to have you, George, on the show.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, I love it when you come on. You're wearing your A's jacket. We'll get to the A's in a little bit. It's kind of a depressing thing. But
it is, and I can't wait to talk about it. I will say this, though, first, since I work at Reilly College, right? Reilly College plays Fresno City College Monday night at 6 at Biden Field. We're playing at Biden Field on Monday. Get your tickets. Going to be a good one.
It is. And Reilly beat up on Fresno City one of the games, like 13-1.
15-1.
15-1.
Then they beat up on us.
Yeah.
So,
so somebody lit a fire, right?
We're exchanging blowout.
Yeah.
But Monday night at 6 at Pete's place.
Okay. And I know Reilly as a stud pitcher from Reilly High. All of a sudden he's throwing like 96, signed with UCLA.
Yep. His name
Gagnon.
Eludes me. And that's
yes. Gagnon.
Yes, Gagnon.
Is he going to throw on Monday or is he already thrown in the series? Do we don't know that yet.
I don't know.
All right.
Coach
so
Purse likes to keep that close to the vest. And then I've been on a conference, so I haven't checked the box scores. So shame on me. But it's worth the price of admission anyway because they're two really good teams. Rich in tradition. It's a great rivalry. Coach Purse has kind of revitalized our program, you know, since he's been here. We had a 30-win season last year, and we're well on our way to winning another 30 this year. And, of course, Fresno City is just awesome, and they always have a good team. So it should be fun.
Well, and then obviously Steve Purse is part of those great teams in the late 80s. And how about those Bulldogs right now?
They are
unbelievable. What, 9 straight in the Mountain West, most
straight,
ever?
13-3, I think, in the conference after their win yesterday. Coach Ovi has done a fantastic job. He has a good mix of local guys, a lot of local guys, a lot of guys who transferred back from the Valley, like Noah Beal, who's done a great job on the mound. They've got great pitching. And, of course, you can't say enough about Tommy Hopfe, who hits and pitches. Murph Gray. You know, I'm going to leave out a couple names, but they're just clicking on all cylinders right now. And it's fun to watch Ryan Overland succeed and do a really good job with that program. His staff is awesome.
And Rocco Pepi.
Rocco Pepi,
according
there we go.
To the Twitter sphere, hit a ball.
You see that? Rocco!
495 feet, 490-foot jack at New Mexico yesterday.
Fresno State takes over the top spot in my favorite baseball teams list over the A's. We'll get to the A's.
I'd have to definitely agree with that one. I do want to mention your involvement with 7-on-7 Passing Down. You're wearing their shirt.
Yeah. Passingdown.com.
Yeah, and you said it already finished.
Yeah, we concluded a couple weeks ago with our Best of the West in Irvine, where we take the top teams who've won our past tournaments, the last 4 tournaments. We had 2 in Morgan Hill. We had 1 in Riverside and 1 in Portland. Portland's great. Northwest is good for 7-on-7. And then we take all the champions from all the divisions, 10U, 12U, 14U, and the high school division. And they all get free. They have to pay their way, but they get free admission to the Best of the West in Irvine. And all the champions came with a bunch of other teams mixed in. And we concluded a couple weeks ago and had a really great tournament. So it was awesome.
And you're the MC?
Yeah, I'm just I keep everything. I keep the timing going on. I keep the music blaring. 10 minutes, 5 minutes left to go. And, in the round or whatever. But, you know, do announcements, things like that. I'm just the voice of the tournament, so to speak.
You're the voice of a lot of things, George. you're the voice of reason.
Surprise, I'm not hoarse. I'm not the voice of reason, however, though.
So you are a Fresno State fan through
Big
and
time.
Through.
You
bleed Bulldog red.
I do.
And obviously basketball is near and dear to your heart? It's probably your number one, right? Your basketball
football.
Junkie. Football is your number. Okay. All right.
Football.
All right. All right. So, but I know you love your basketball.
Football, baseball, basketball, really.
Really?
Yeah.
I misfired on that.
Well, it changes. It fluctuates. Right now, basketball is not in the – it's in the top three, but it's number three.
Okay. All right. All right. Well,
for Fresno State. For,
okay. So, Fresno State made the big hire, the big splash with Vance Wahlberg. I mean, 3 weeks ago, he was listed on 24/7 as literally a dark horse. A lot of other names are mentioned. And then all of a sudden, we sit here today a week from him being named as a men's basketball coach. And, you know, we've known Vance for a long time. We've watched his career, the ups and downs of his career. Let me just ask you, first of all, George, what was your initial reaction when you finally found out, confirmed, that Vance was going to be the guy?
That I was excited for Vance. I still am excited for Vance because no matter how you look at it, you look at all the candidates, and there's not one person who will have more passion for this job than Vance Wahlberg. He's wanted it for 20 years. He didn't get it. This is the fourth time he's applied for it. Fourth time is the charm. You know, Steve Cleveland got it the first time, and then, of course, Coach Terry and Coach Hutt. And now it's his time to shine. No one is going to work harder at this job than him. He knows what's on the line. He knows attendance has been down. He knows the team hasn't been very good the last few years. And this is probably going to be his last job. And he wants to go out with a bang. He has never lost anywhere he's been. Never. I mean, except for maybe Pepperdine struggled a little bit. But other than that, you can't argue with the record. And then he has the NBA coaching experience, the D1 experience with UMass. He's worked with George Karl. He's worked with John Calipari. You name it. He's done a lot of awesome things. He won a state championship undefeated at Fresno City. You know, I help out Adrian Wiggins at Clovis East. He's been a thorn in our side for a long time at Clovis West. Both times he was coaching there. So he's got a lot of passion for it. You can ignore the age because he's got the enthusiasm and passion of a 35-year-old. I think he's hit the ground running. He's got his staff together and put in place. I know he's got a lot of work to do in the portal, but when all is said and done, I think we'll be happy with what we're going to see on the floor.
So you're happy for Vance.
Thrilled for Vance.
You're thrilled for Vance. Are you thrilled for the fans of Fresno State? When do you think that he's going to produce a winner? Or is it going to be, hey, year one's going to have some bumps. We hope for a 500 record. Year two, maybe close to 20 wins. I mean, what do you think Fresno State fans are going to like about this?
I think you're going to have to be a little realistic. I mean, I saw a stat, 88% of the Bulldogs scoring is in the portal or graduated. So he's got a lot of work to do to bring in a roster. First of all, is these guys in the portal who left, are they going to come back after they hear from Coach Wahlberg? And by the way, the John Welch hire is
home
amazing.
Grand slam.
It's a grand slam, first of all. So those two guys are going to do great work together again. They've worked together before. Of course, Coach Welch was with Tark back in the day, so I remember Coach Welch from back in the day. And then he was with Larry Abney and Dave Severns with the Clippers too. So John's been everywhere. God bless his wife and his kids for going all over the country for him. But I think the staff is great. I think – you know, this is the honeymoon phase of it, and you got to be patient with it. I would not be surprised if year one that they would improve a little bit, but it's not the results maybe we'd be looking for. But you got to give him some time. Like, this is starting at ground level almost, you know, with the fan base and with the roster and with, you know, trying to attract people to this program. The portal changes everything. I could be completely wrong, and he gets all these great recruits coming in and transfers. And they win 20, but I think it's going to take 1-2 years for that to happen. Hopefully they improve from this year and build on that.
Style of basketball.
Love
speaking,
it.
What do you think we're going to see? I know people that know basketball well, we have an idea if we're going to see, but we see it at the high school level, what he did with Clovis West. You saw a little bit more than I did at Fresno City, probably,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How's that going to translate to D1? And he gives his players a lot of freedom.
Yeah.
He says that. You know, George, I'm always frustrated as a basketball fan when I see coaches on the sideline. Again, you know, I mean, Hurley did it, and that guy's a phenomenal coach. But, you know, just barking out plays, right?
Yeah.
2-3-1, whatever their signals are, and dictating that. Wahlberg said he's not like that. he gives his team freedom. He says, guys, you just run your sets. You look for the best shot. You get to the hoop. You get to the free throw line, right? What do you think the style of basketball is going to look like at the D1 level?
Well, part of that, the dribble drive motion offense is incorporated in the NBA at some point. It has been, right? So if it works there, it's going to work here. And it's worked at Clovis West and everywhere he's been. He's created that offense that's been incorporated into the NBA at the highest level. So how does it not work here? He's got to get the players to match his scheme. It's a great pace. It's frenetic. He wants to go up and down. High-octane offense, all this and that. I think it's going to be fun to watch. I think it's going to be great. Some of the scores I saw from last year's team, you're just like, whew, that's all we can do? I think that's. I think the point totals are going
to
change.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to go from the 50s to the high 70s and the 80s.
We're getting to the 80s maybe, yep. You know? And maybe sometimes if he's got the right players and they're clicking, it can get into the 90s maybe a couple times. So I think fans are going to love the style of play. I mean, Vance Wahlberg's he's at this point, and he's a local guy. He's always wanted to have this job, like I said, and I don't think he's going to let the fans down when you look back at his career at Fresno State.
I want to talk a little bit, George, about how exactly Vance Wahlberg did get the job. Like I mentioned, he was a dark horse a few mm-hmm. weeks ago, according to some. There was a search committee, and
yeah.
They love search committees, hate them. Is it a waste of money? Heck, I even
have.
Heard the Fresno counties hired a search committee for their new superintendent. It was wasted $40,000 already. So anyway, you got to have these search committees this day, I suppose. But what I heard, George, and it was published in the Fresno Bee as well, is that there were three names that were given mm-hmm. to President Saul Jimenez Sandoval, and Wahlberg wasn't one of those three names. So in essence, he went against the search committee. Obviously, there's no athletic director.
Right.
But, how did he emerge then to get the job?
Well, Robert Kawada mentioned that in his article, and I got to give Robert credit because you could take a lot of crap for that. But at the same time, as members of the media, we're not supposed to play favorites. You know, we're supposed to, you know, give you the facts and the information, whether it's good or bad. And I know a lot of people don't like seeing that, but hey, that's the way it is. Like, that's the facts. You're not supposed to be a homer. You know, I've seen some members of the media when I was back in TV, members of the media cheering for the team, you know, on press row. You can't do that. So I give Robert credit for putting that out there. But the president has the final say. And so if he wants to add a name or two to the list that the search committee provided, then that's his right to do it. And if he thinks Vance is the right fit when all is said and done, and he thinks that way because he picked him, then that's the way it's going to be. Now, I know members of that committee are a little pissed off about it, you know, like, why did we do this if you were just going to do that, you know? So, was that your thought all along, no matter who we picked from the pool? So, you know, those questions remain to be answered in public anyway. But I know a couple of the members of that committee, and they're not happy with how that went down.
Would they be happy with Vance, though, ultimately, right? We see the buzz, George, right? We're well connected. We see the buzz. We saw the presser. People are waiting outside. I mean, it's palpable.
Ultimately, will they be happy if he wins? Yeah. But right now, they're not happy because they just feel like all that work that they did, and you know, listening to the interviews and whatnot, it's like, okay, well, Vance is not on our list. So here are the three that we think that the committee of like 8 or 9 people that you chose to help conduct this search, these are the three people that we think would be better or best. But, you know, President Sandoval said, well, I've got one, too, and I have my opinion, too, and that's my right as the president because there's no athletic director, so that's what I'm going to do. And I know Vance has a lot of good financial backing for all the NIL stuff that he's going to need to face for the first time, and you got to hope that President Sandoval made the right decision and that the committee will look at that eventually and go, okay, you're right. Congratulations. We're thrilled. Because I know everybody in that committee, no matter what, wants to see a winner. You know, okay, you're going to pick Vance. Well, let's hope that produces wins and tournament championships and NC2A tournament appearances. But I know they're not happy right now, but hopefully that changes. And I'm thrilled, like I said, I'm thrilled for Vance. I'm glad he's getting the shot.
Talking with George Takata about the men's basketball hiring of Vance Wahlberg. And you mentioned, George, NIL. That's huge.
It's huge.
20 years ago when Vance was in college, that wasn't even a thing. Mm-mm. And now here we are. And you got to manage that. You got to manage the portal now in this day and age to keep up. Mm-hmm. And Vance has said he's well aware of what he's up against, and he's trying to get ahead of it, so to speak. And he's got some financial backing as well. What does all of that look like in this day and age for Vance Wahlberg?
Vance has been one of the most prepared people I've ever met. And whether he's preparing for an opponent, he's also preparing for the next opponent after that. He's always been a step ahead of the game. He created an offense, you know, ahead of his time for the NBA game. So, looking at the portal, he's prepared. He studied it. He knows what to expect and is learning how to, you know, conduct those type of recruiting tactics. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see great quality athletes come here through his ability to navigate the portal. And then it's the NIL money that I think Bulldog Bread will help out with, and Fresno State, I think, with Aaron Mitchell. I think that those people over there will help Vance as much as possible to get the quality athletes that he needs to incorporate his offense and defensive styles too. So Vance is studying. He's in the lab all the time. He's been studying about the portal and NIL and everything that goes, all the policies and procedures that go with it. So he'll be fine. He hasn't done it ever, but I think he'll be okay, and he's surrounded himself with people who know how to do it.
Yeah, and we mentioned John Welch a little bit and what he brings to the program. Yeah, played for Tark, coached with Tark, been around the NBA, highly respected. I remember when he jumped to the NBA, he does really well at skill work.
He's a gym rat.
Skill work is off the charts. He's developed a lot of NBA guys, you know, getting them that next paycheck as well, that next big contract. So he's helped a lot of dudes. Having a guy like that, that's a grand slam hire for him.
It sure is. He's associate head coach, so it's kind of a little bit of a bump title-wise. He just left John Calipari at Kentucky, and he wasn't going to go with him to Arkansas. So coming back to the Central Valley, hopefully rekindled a lot of great memories for him. He's not going to be at Selden Arena, but hopefully the Save Mart Center will have some of that Tark energy. He brings some of that Tark energy, hopefully, with him. And I think a lot of the people from that Tark era are very, very happy for him that he's coming back to help out and get this opportunity to be the associate head coach. I don't think he's ever had that title before. But he's good with skills and development and all that. X's and O's, he's learned from the best too, including Coach Tark. And in John's interview, he did an interview, I think it was with Gabe Camarillo, he said, look, I've learned from Coach Tarkanian, George Carl, all these great coaches, but I've learned as much from Vance, if not more, than any of those guys. So it's a good partnership. It's a, like we said, grand slam hire. I'm happy that John's back.
Yeah, I agree. Those two guys on the sidelines, they'll be able to break down any defense, any opponent, attack their weaknesses. And that's what basketball, all sports, you know, football. What do you got, George?
I will say this about John. because I went to a Clippers game, Clippers Heat game, and they were warming guys up. And Larry Abney and John Welch were out there, and they were, you know, working with the guys, and John Welch working up a sweat like he probably does every pregame. He's probably so happy that NBA coaches don't wear suits anymore. He's the most uncomfortable person I think I've ever seen that to wear a suit when he had to. He belongs in this.
Yeah.
Sweats,
yeah.
T-shirt, dry fits. So now that these coaches aren't wearing suits anymore and he's, you know, more comfortable, I'm pretty sure he's really happy about that.
I think he is.
Yeah, he's much better in that kind of attire.
I think he is. Just a real quick story here. I definitely want to hear about those times when you covered Tark and John Welch. But yeah. I worked a Tark camp one summer, and it was really great because after the camp's over, we'd play pickup games, and I'm playing with monster guys. I'm like a little, you know, a minnow in this sea of just incredible athletes, and Larry Abney and all these guys are playing. Demetrius Porter and John Welch is playing, and Melvin Eli showed up. That was when he first arrived. And I remember John Welch passed me the ball on a fast break, and
you can play too.
Well, yeah, but listen, I missed the layup, and I was called a couple things, you know, on the court, and I never saw the ball again that game, right? And so, yeah, Welch, yeah, sorry, I blew your assist and. What year would that have been? 1996, I think it was. So anyway, yeah, I blew the layup from Welch. But, yeah, he's a gamer. He'll get after it. But, George, I always love it when you talk about your experience covering the Bulldogs during those Selland Arena days and Tark and Welch. And then I knew you worked with Tark. I forgot about that. Yep. You did a little radio gig with him.
Did a radio show with him at Fresno Distributing off of McKinley. Shameless plug. Did it for two seasons. Not straight through, just for during basketball seasons. He got all the guests, and I kind of moderated everything and hosted it. And, like, who am I going to get as guests? When Coach Tarkanian was getting, like, Digger Phelps and Bobby Knight and Bill Raftery and all those quality coaches. I think we had Coach K on it one time. I'm like, I'll just sit back and listen to these stories. They're just really, really fun stuff. I can tell a quick story. Like, when Coach Knight was on, just Tark took over and, you know, did the interview and, you know, how's the family, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, this is my one shot to ask Coach Knight a question. So I kind of chimed in. And he didn't hear my voice yet. And he said, who the hell are you? I said, well, I'm George Takata. I'm the host with Coach Tark. I just want to ask you a question. He sounded really annoyed about it. That I was interrupting his real reunion with Tark the Shark. And I got my question. I don't remember. His answer was kind of short, I guess, and they resumed. So it was kind of funny. But Tark had all those connections, and everybody loved him except for the NC2A, you know. And
what's the famous quote? You know, something about, you know, the NCAA is so mad at Weber State.
Or at Kentucky that they're going to give, like, yeah, Cleveland State another year's probation or something like that. Yeah, that's classic Tarkanian.
One thing about Tarkanian, and going back to that camp that I worked at, you know, again, who am I? And I'm standing on the sidelines working with some kids, and Tark comes up. I'm like, oh, my gosh, there he is. And he comes up to me, and he introduces himself. Yeah. Hi, I'm Jerry Tarkanian. Good to see you. I still remember that to this day. And people have said that, like, one of the great things and about him and about anybody that you meet, they always make you feel like the most important person in the room. Mm-hmm. And that was, yeah, Tark.
When Tark retired or was shown the door, nudged gently away from the program, I got a letter in the mail. It said Fresno State basketball coach Tark's image on it. Said, George, thanks for the coverage. It was fair and balanced. I really appreciate it. And signed just Jerry. Framed it. It's on my wall at home, my home office. And it's one of the most precious things I have in regards to memorabilia-wise. It was personalized. He took the time to do it. I'm pretty sure his secretary wrote it, but he signed it. And just we had a lot of good laughs on that show. And covering his press conferences were funny, too. And I interviewed him on in an elevator at in New York before the NIT. Have you ever been interviewed in an elevator before? No, it's the first time.
First time, George.
First time for everything. So he was just a gem. And we all miss him to this day. And thankfully, we have another Tarkanian coming to Fresno State because his granddaughter, Ashley, signed to play play golf here.
I saw that.
For Fresno State. Cool. So I'm excited to see that. Hopefully we have a little Sharkette on campus. So that's cool. The legacy continues. Congrats to Danny and Amy, her parents, who've obviously raised a good one.
Talking with George Takata, we got a few minutes here, George, and from Tarkanian and Wahlberg then to the sweatshirt / jacket that you're wearing right now, the Athletics. The A's.
They're
right?
6-8, however.
They are. They're winning games.
Lawrence Butler with the walk-off hit had a 445-foot bomb as well, and then he ended it. Oh, he's a good little player. He's hitting under 200, but whatever. Most of the team is.
Yeah, they're winning some. Yeah, I think they start off like 1-5, 1-6. You're like, could this be the worst baseball team in the history of MLB? But no, they're it's like Major League, right? The owners hate them. They want them to lose, and they're like, screw them. We're going to win games.
Hate's a strong word, but I loathe that guy. Is that worse than hate?
Loathe is worse.
Yeah, okay. Then I'll go with that because it's the way he's handled this whole thing and never spent money. And, you know, thankfully they have a good farm system and management to handle, you know, to draft players such as Matt Chapman and Matt Olson and back in when Josh Donaldson was traded to, I think it was part of the A's farm system back in the, you know, all those great players that they've had through the years under that ownership group, under his watch, that once Chad Pinder, all these guys, I forget some of the pitchers. How come I can't think of any of the
pitchers? I mean, the big three.
Yeah, the big three, Mulder, Hudson, and Zito. I don't think that was part of the Fisher era.
That was before.
Yeah. But, you know, they've had good teams. 2019, they were in the playoffs, you know, Cespedes and all those guys. But for him to never, ever spend money, and I think it's always been his dream to get them out of Oakland, and this is one of the most storied franchises in baseball, and he's just run it into the ground. They're going to go play in a minor league ballpark next year and the year after that and the year after that. And maybe they'll stay there because this whole Vegas thing, a lot of people think is never going to even happen. It's just – he's just the worst owner in professional sports, in my opinion, and he's never wanted to spend money, and he's always had it, you know, in his mind that we're going to leave here and never going to make it work. We're going to have all these discussions about new stadiums and whatever and putting a ballpark by the water, and it just didn't work or whatever, you know. I'm sure Mark Davis is really, really happy that John Fisher is going to be in Vegas, possibly. I mean, those guys can't stand each other. But they may just end up staying in Sacramento, you know, and I wouldn't be surprised about that either. But just to rip that team away from the city, it just sucks. It sucks for people like me who've, you know, been a fan of that team since I can remember.
Since the Vita Blue days, maybe even Reggie and Joe Rudy and all those guys. Yep. All right, George. Yeah, thanks for coming in.
Yeah.
We're up against the break here. Yeah, A's, sad franchise. They're stuck in purgatory limbo, whatever you want
to
call it.
I'm going to go to their very last game in Oakland, and that's going to be it. And that's it for me. And then I don't know what I'm going to do with all this gear. You want some of it? I mean, these guys at First Drink can sell
some. They could donate it.
Yeah.
You can donate. All right, George. Always great to talk to you. Thanks for bringing your insight about Vance Wahlberg and where Fresno State basketball is heading, a little bit about the A's. Go have some fun.
All right.
The rest of the
appreciate
day.
The opportunity, Paul. Thank you.
You bet. All right. We got Bullard in the house right now.
Bullard.
Andy and Beckett Zvorak from Bullard Baseball. They're coming on the show. You're listening to 1430 ESPN.
Don't exist. Wait, no. We have a different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report. You're listening to 1430 ESPN, your local sports leader. Had a really good conversation with George Takata about Fresno State men's basketball. Vance Wahlberg, we know what he's going to bring to the table. Work ethic, exciting brand of basketball. Obviously, his rise to be the coach at age 67, not optimal, right? Could have gone with some younger guys, but I think could be stepping stones for other coaches, but not for Wahlberg. He's going to give everything he has. His whole career, I believe, has been led up to this moment. So, anyway, if you missed any part of the show, you could go back to 1430ESPNFresno.com, go under podcast, Central Valley Sports Report, or other shows on 1430ESPN, and go back and listen to any part of shows that you might have missed. All right, so Bullard Baseball. Today's been a Bullard-heavy show. Coach Jamie Maxey just won her 500th game. Softball coach yesterday. That was really, really cool. Andy Zvorak and Beckett now join me. Andy's part of the 88. Well, how many years, Andy, on varsity? Were you a two-year guy?
Two years.
So you graduated 88, though.
Yep,
we'll make sure.
87 and 88, so those two seasons, yeah.
Okay, 87, 88. Inducted into the Bullard Hall of Fame last Saturday, so it's been a full week. Son Beck is here with us as well. He's a senior, starting shortstop, headed to Arizona State. So today, it's one of those no baseball Saturdays, kind of one of those relaxed, chill kind of days.
Yep, pretty much. I mean, it's nice to get a day off after a big week of three games. We're not really used to that. So, because we in CMAC, we got two games a week, and then that third game, because we had one rained out last week, it was good to see like the arms that we had step up and when we needed them to stretch out a little bit. And, yeah, it's nice to get three wins this week.
So your game against Sanger was postponed to supposed to be Saturday. You guys were scheduled to come on the show, and then you're like, hey, we're playing on Saturday at 12, and then that morning it was moved to Monday.
Yeah.
But anyway, you guys took care of business. You guys are now 7-0 in CMAC after that win yesterday. But you got something else. It was funny, right?
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing tonight?
I'm heading over to the Memorial Prom after sweeping them this week and a little bit of bad blood from the game on Tuesday. But
Shout out to Avery Thompson.
Yep, Avery Thompson. but it's all good. It's just guys being guys, you know. All the stuff stays between the lines. It's nothing personal. It's just bringing out our competitive nature, and sometimes it gets the best of us, but it's nothing personal to anyone.
Well, would it be Bullard and Memorial without you know, high tensions.
Yeah, it makes it fun. It makes the game more fun.
And I like what you said, though, Beckett. You said, hey, playing between the lines, competition, right? You're obviously playing to win the game, but outside the lines, it's like, all right, we get it. And Andy, you mentioned that a bit, and we actually mentioned it on the broadcast, Mike Brink and I, about the rivalries. And, man, you're mad dogging that guy in the dugout. Like, I don't like that dude. And you watch how he carries. It's like, man, that dude's a chump. And then you graduate. You're like, you play together. You see each other, and you eventually become good friends, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Johnny DeSilva, man, Madera High School. Couldn't stand those guys. Every time we saw him on the field, there was almost a bench clear. And next thing you know, we're at Fresno City College with Ron Scott, and we're best friends. So, you know, I think the guys that compete and get after it, you know, they're there for a reason. And you know what? We have something in common. So you end up realizing, man, we all got something in common. We got baseball in common. So we all get along.
Yeah, that tends to happen after we graduate. You realize, oh, yeah, that guy is really cool. That guy is just trying to compete like I am. And, Beckett, you've had a good season. We're going to get into your injury in a little bit because you missed most of all last season. You only got two at-bats last year. But come back with your senior season with a vengeance, hitting .410, scored 21 runs. Those SBs, you're perfect. Haven't been caught yet. Got to keep that at 100%. You got a great lineup, though. You're hitting second. A little bit of a slow start for the season for the Knights. You guys had a couple one-run games that didn't go in your favor, but you guys run, I think, 11 out of your last 12. But what's it like for you hitting second in such a good lineup? Talk about some of the dudes that surround you.
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice when you have just dudes all around the lineup because you always have guys to pick you up if you don't get a hit. If you don't hit a double one at bat, you always got the guy behind you. Like, I got Brant behind me, which is nice because every time I get on, it feels like I'm coming in to score. So, yeah, I mean, we're blessed to be as stacked as we are this year. I think we're definitely not where we want to be, but in these next couple weeks, I think we're going to start to get in stride and get ready to make a run here coming into May.
I agree. And watching you guys from the beginning of the year to this, I think you guys are fully healthy. Guys have, you know, coming together as a team more. I know Brant was a transfer, so it'll take some time getting used to different players and what they can bring to the table. And I want to ask you from your perspective, obviously you've worn a lot of hats over the years as a coach and a father, but how would you assess where this Bullard baseball team is right now?
I think Beckett summed it up right. We're not where we want to be. And Coach Donald will tell you that. We're getting there. The mantra has always been, hey, this is going to be a tough team in May, right? So we were hurt in the beginning. Three or four guys were down. They've become healthy now. We've got one last piece of the puzzle, I think, is starting to get ready again. So he was in the bullpen. I won't mention that guy. But we get healthy. We start hitting. They're going to be a tough team to beat. I don't think you're going to want to play them in the playoffs. You know, I think it's wide open this year. I think there's, you know, 5, 6, 7 teams that really can have a chance to win it. So it's good.
Yeah, the Clovis North, the Clovis from the track there, they got really strong ball clubs. You guys are right up there. And we mentioned, Andy, that it seems like the Bakersfield schools, like somebody's going to emerge, right? One of those teams is going to make a run throughout the D1 playoffs and is going to be a really tough win. So, you know, Andy, I want to ask you also, you've been around baseball for a long time. When it comes to the playoffs, right, what is the best type of team to field in this situation, right? Do you want a team that can mash, a team that, you know, can pitch really well? You know, is there an advantage or disadvantage to having a strength either way?
Well, obviously you want a well-rounded team, but it, you know, in baseball it comes down to who's on the bump, right? You got to have a guy that's going to be able to lock it down and keep you in a baseball game, right? I mean, it comes down to one play in a game to win a game. So you obviously got to do the right things, do the small ball stuff, and, you know, have a team that's well coached. Coach Donald does a great job. He's got Coach Noakes on the staff, Coach Sylvia. I mean, all those guys are fantastic. So we're going to be prepared X's and O's wise. Now we got to deliver. So if it's me, I'd love a shutdown arm that can just come in and throw 7 innings and no hit ball or no run ball and you got a pretty good chance if you can do that. I don't know if there's, you know, a real lockdown guy on the mound anywhere right now. It seems like it's a little thin. Casting over at Clovis, man, that guy's really good. We're going to play them and, you know, play him in the daytime.
And Clovis North, right? They got some arms as well. Wyatt Prieto has suddenly emerged as a really strong arm, and they got a freshman too.
Oh, he's really
through
good.
A complete game against Clovis East yesterday. So, you never know.
Davis Wilson, man, he's really good. I saw him, and the thing that impressed me about him is he didn't look like a freshman on the mound. It's like, hey, come and get me, man. There was no fear at all in that kid, and you know he's going to be the real deal. So.
He's a dude. He's physically, a lot of these kids are physically, ahead of a lot of teams in the past. And, I look at Clovis North as a challenge. You guys, like I said, some team from Bakersfield is most likely going to emerge. I want to ask you, Andy, I want to go with that. You hit on a little bit. You know these kids growing up. You've coached your sons, since they could probably hold a bat. And it's taken you all around the United States, right, in tournaments. How has that prepared your boys and the got players that you coach for now this level and then hopefully moving on and playing college like Beckett is?
Yeah, we have played in some of the greatest tournaments ever. I know travel ball gets a bad name and whatnot. We fielded some really good teams. Our last Tri-County team that we had that won the World Series, man, we got 15 guys going to Power 5 schools, LSU, wow. Mississippi State, UCLA, Arizona State. I mean, it Stanford. I mean, it's playing with those guys. Iron sharpens iron, right? Iron sharpens iron. And if you're playing and competing against the best, if you're a good player, you can only help to get better. Right, Beck?
Mm-hmm. Right on.
And Beckett, last year was kind of a tough year for you. So you elected to have surgery on your elbow. Can you just explain, first of all, how you started to feel a little pain and you got into the doctor like, oh, we might have to go this route? Explain all that situation.
Yeah, so it was like a lingering type of deal where it just kept on bugging me. But, I'm like the competitor I am. I'm like, I want to play. I'm not going to
You're not
going
to really tell anybody.
I'm not going to a doctor. I don't think my dad knew for a year. I was just wanted to keep playing. Got to a point where I was like, I just want to get this taken care of. I can't handle it. It was just too much discomfort. And so we went into one doctor at Sierra Specific Orthopedic, and they said 7 to 9 months, I'm going to need a screw. Mm. And that was just –
that was doom and gloom almost.
Yeah, that was just like a stab to the chest. That one hurt, but kept our head up and then got a second opinion from Dr. Akazuki, who's with the Giants down in San Francisco. So, and he said, we're going to get the internal brace, and that's just it. It's where they take a little suture, go in and out of your tendon, just tighten it up, and basically just strengthen that even more so there's more stability there. And
basically, it's Tommy John without the ligament, right?
Without replacing
everyone's it. Like, well, you're getting an internal brace. No, it's Tommy John. That's what it is. But it's with that internal brace. So they suture that, anchor that the two ends of the ligament down. And his ligaments was perfect. It just something happened. He threw too hard or something, and it came off the bone and just wouldn't get back in there. So we're thankful. Dr. Akizuki's really badass, and it was good.
So 4 to 6 months, is that?
Yeah, it was.
Did you have it in like December?
I had it in February.
Okay.
So right before the season started. And then it was 3 to 4 months, no throwing, no hitting. And then after 3 months, I could start hitting lightly, like off the tee. I think it was like 25 swings a day. So I had to actually like count 25 swings, and it was annoying because I wanted to take a lot more.
Yeah.
Well, and a shout out to Rick Limbo, who's the trainer for the Marlins. He was Beckett's physical therapist and really did a great job.
Yeah.
Kept him on track. Mm-hmm. Kept him mentally. Man, that's tough as a kid, right, Beck? I mean,
yeah, no,
mentally,
definitely.
It's hard.
That was definitely one of the more, probably the most adverse moment I've ever had in my life at the time. I mean, going through that, it was a different type of feeling for me. So I had a great supporting cast. Like, I had my parents help me a lot. All my friends kept me in it. And it was nice when I was on a good team. I think we won like 20 games in a row. So it was easy to be in the dugout.
And Coach Donald helped you out, right?
I mean, of course, Coach Donald. Yeah, he always kept my head in it. He always kept me involved. It was
good in essence that you got it done. your junior year, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, so definitely. You could play your senior year. You never want to sit out your senior year. That's the moment you've been waiting for a long time. But you had a few college options, though, during that time. Teams or schools, I should say, stuck with you. You eventually signed with Arizona State. Just walk us through that process first with you, Beckett, and maybe when did colleges first start contacting you? You were going to showcases, and they look at you and talk to you a little bit, but then when did the offers start rolling around?
Yeah, it was fairly early in my high school career. It was, I want to say around my freshman year, I was actually committed to Stanford on just a verbal commitment, and I was going into it, I was like, you know what? I'm not the greatest. Like, I'm not the smartest of kids. Like, I'm not getting a 4.4 GPA, like my buddy Nick Stofield has. So I was going into it. I was like, this is gonna be tough, but I'm gonna give it a shot because who wouldn't want to go to Stanford?
Sure.
Like, that's a dream school. That's the golden ticket. So I gave it a shot. Got in my first couple AP classes and.
It was hell in our house.
Just say yeah.
Yeah. So we made a family decision that we were gonna reopen our recruitment, and we had to get back on the workhorse and find a new home. So so it was between a couple schools, but Arizona State it seemed like home to me. It seemed like the perfect fit with everything. Coach Bloomquist over there, he's just everything that I've been coached with my whole life. It seems like that's what it was. Like the hard-nosed, like old school, just dirtbag kind of guy. Like that's what I loved. And he didn't seem like fake with anything. He seemed straight up, which I loved. Like, it seemed like sometimes it'd be a little fake. But he seemed like it was real. So that's what kind of got me. And Arizona State is just a great place, a great school, great history of people getting drafted out of there, which
Barry Bonds,
yep,
among many others.
Yep, and that's other than going to Omaha and winning a national championship, that's ultimately the end goal is to move on to play professional baseball. And
talking with Beckett Zvorak, Father Andy has joined us as well. And Andy, during that process, how involved were you? Like, you let your kids obviously make the ultimate choice, but was that a fun process for you? Was it difficult? Was it tough to frame it in your mind, or are you just like, all right, let's go?
It was fun. You get to the end of it and you're like, okay, let's get this over with. But you know, getting to meet coaches, and you know, Brady had the same kind of experience, so I got to know some guys. And after you're make a commitment, you kind of break up with everybody, you don't talk to them anymore. So that's the hardest part, you're out talking to these coaches all the time. But it's fun, man. We met some good people down the road, and it's exciting. You just got to keep getting better and, you know, not have the road stop on you. So it was fun.
How are you going to watch these games then next year, Andy? You and your wife, Mia, what are you guys going to do? You going to be driving down there or what?
Yeah, so Brady, you know, Brady last year was at Fresno City College, had a fantastic year. He was gonna go to Westmont to play. He hurt his knee at City College and never seemed to come back. So we kind of put his career over. He kind of retired, but he's can't scratch the itch. So he is actually coming back. Started working out. Got some, you know, a brace that he's wearing. Blah blah blah. Anyway, he's gonna be playing. And Beck is gonna be playing, so we're gonna have to split duty. Yeah, I don't know. We're going to – a lot of late hours driving in the car. But, you know, fortunately it's on TV now, so that's cool. But, it's exciting. We're blessed to have this.
Absolutely. And, any Division I offer is a blessing, and that you chose Arizona State is a huge blessing for you and your family. You've definitely earned it. Hall of Fame for Bullard last week. Andy was inducted into it. Beckett, I got to ask you, though. Have you seen clips of your dad? You've seen pictures. Have you seen him throw BP? Has he taken any swings? You're like, okay, Dad, let me see what you got.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what's the evidence that he's shown you that he was a decent ball player?
You could kind of tell what he taught me. He's got a lot of knowledge, but I've never seen any clips. I wish I have, but I haven't. But Yeah, he used to throw BP. I think his shoulder's a little bugged.
Oh, it's done.
It's done.
A little messed up now.
Threw your last bullet.
Oh, man. It blew out on me, so I got to get that fixed. I want to be able to golf.
You could just tell when somebody has a lot of baseball knowledge, and he's definitely one of those guys that has a lot of baseball knowledge.
Yeah, so what are some stories, though? I mean, mainly stories about, you know. Well, I guess I could ask you, Andy. All right, so let's go back to the Hall of Fame. Each Hall of Fame member got some time in the microphone, which was a little dangerous. One of the things that you learn when you're an MC, and Paul Leffler has told me this, when you're MCing an event or you want to do an interview with people and you're the one holding the mic, you never hand the mic over. You just hold the mic over by the person's mouth, and then they tell the story. In case something awkward, inappropriate comes out, you can, you know, they're struggling a little bit, you could pull the microphone away. However, you guys were given the microphone, so that was dangerous, yeah, right? And Coach Noakes was there, right?
Well, you get Coach Noakes on the mic, and that is always an interesting thing. Love the guy. But, yeah, my buddy Lance Taglioni had a really nice speech. I think everyone enjoyed that. I think, good stories, man. We talked a little bit about some of the stuff. Coach Noakes, man, he's like my second father. And we have so many stories that we can tell, but we can't really tell on the air. I mean, it's just crazy. It's kind of that fraternity of fun stuff. But, man, Coach, that's one thing that he instilled in all of us was the – He created men out of us, right? He created competitors. Lance's mantra was, hey, all I wanted to do was win. He didn't care about individual accolades and all the good stuff. And I think that's what kind of made us tick, is everybody wanted to win, right? I mean, to this day, when we're playing board games at our house, you know, I want to win, and my wife gets mad at me because I'm always competitive. She's like, you always have to turn this into a whatever. I'm like, yeah, you know, blame Coach Noakes on that. But she's competitive now too. Me is awesome. She's really a wonderful mom. Beckett will tell you that. She is a competitor, and, you know, our entire family, we're competitors, which is good in life.
And Coach Noakes, obviously the field is named after him. You mentioned that, you know, he builds up men and he makes, you know, turns people into competitors, or maybe people that were competitors and then become ultra competitive. Is there a game that you remember that sticks out to you most, a championship game or a game against your rival that sticks out to you?
Yeah, I'll tell you, we won a bunch of games we probably shouldn't have, and that's, you know, part of baseball. But there was a lot of lucky wins that we scratched out. But one game, man, it was the Easter Classic Championship. Bobby Jones was on the mound, and they were beating us like 5-1. We had no business winning the game, but it was like 5-1 or 4-1, and we ended up scratching out 6 runs to win the game in like the bottom of the 7th inning. And I just remember everybody. That was one of the things. I mean, we're yelling at each other across the diamond. I thought there was going to be a fight. We saw Bobby driving down Blackstone, you know, back in the day. That night, we're yelling at each other through the car, and then end up going to Fresno State together and becoming friends. So, you know, that if there was one game, I remember that one. That was one of the games we shouldn't have won.
So Memorial back in the day, right, was that – were you guys in different leagues?
Help me out with that. Yeah, they were not in our league. We only played them once. I think it would usually be in, like, the Easter Classic or something like that. I don't remember playing them that much, regardless.
Yeah.
Gamenny and those guys, they always had good players. But, yeah.
So who was your championship game, the Valley Championship back then? Who was that against?
Yeah, so we played Exeter.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. And they, you know, I mean, it was like – 15-2, we ended up beating them. It was the semifinal game that meant something. But we had a good team, man. We lost one game. I think we lost 4 games in 4 years with that group, which is crazy. I think we were 86-4. Yeah. So I always give my buddies a bad time and say, you know, in 4 years you never beat us.
Yeah.
But it was a good situation we had there. All right.
Talking with Andy Zvorak and his son Beckett. So Beckett, what's your walk up song right now?
It is "Uproar" by Lil Wayne, featuring Swizz Beatz. It's
I love that song.
I love it. I love Lil Wayne. He's probably one of my favorite rappers. I'm big into rap.
I'm more into Swizz Beatz.
Like that's a good point. I figured you would be. Do you know how to spell it though?
Yeah.
No. How would you even spell all that? Beckett, do you know Lil Wayne? I mean, Swizz Beatz?
Yeah, S-W-I-Z-Z.
Two Z's. I got to have the two Z's.
Yep.
How yeah. about Beats at the end? Is there a Z at the end?
Yep.
There you go. I called it. I called it. So, Andy, you were in charge of the music in the past, right? So you kind of familiar with this stuff, with these walk-up songs.
You know what I pride – is pride at a word? I was proud that so many people yelled at me while I was playing music, right? You should see some
of the – Are they saying turn it off, or what are they saying?
Man.
What are you playing
people
there?
People get angry. Well, we're just playing music, right, trying to get everybody fired up. Baseball, look, let's face it. I mean, baseball can be a little boring sometimes. I love it. It's never boring to me, but for the casual fan, everyone complains that it's boring. So we try to ratchet it up a notch. Davy Jones, it was funny. He was we were out last night after the game, and we told the story. I mean, he came after me during a Memorial Bullard game because I was playing music at inopportune times, but they were opportune for us. So anyway, it was just funny. I mean, it makes it interesting.
Well, okay, so again, we broadcasted yesterday's Memorial Bullard game. We're right there behind home plate. We're right next to the sound system. We are right under the speakers. So I go back and listen to a little bit of the broadcast, and that is just – I got my headset on, and I can't hear myself talk, right, on air. I go back and listen, and sure enough, man, that music and the dun-dun-dun-dun in between pitches.
Yeah. I mean
– come on.
It makes it one of the more electric.
There you go. Okay, I'm happy for you.
Throughout the valley,
I'm happy for you, Beckett.
Yeah, I mean, I think the games are pretty fun when you hear a hawk after someone strikes
that's
out.
That's a good point.
Well,
okay,
and here's the thing:
cool.
You look around, the Madera Coyotes now have the coyotes yelling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they
yelling?
Have like
howling,
a howl.
Howling. It's
like
a, so, hey, you know, hey, we're trendsetters.
You are trend, and after the win, right? You're playing the Go Knights Go.
You know what?
Who's saying that?
Classic. So Brandon Gilbert. We go way back. When I first started coaching at Layton High School, he was our offensive coordinator or something.
I didn't know that. All right.
Yeah, anyway, so he, we go way back, and we're just a bunch of goofballs. Anyway, that Go Knights, or excuse me, the Go Cubs Go song.
Yeah.
And we're listening to it, and Brandon calls me the next day. He's written out the words, so now he's changed it to Go Knights Go. And then we had the music teacher actually sing the song, and that's changed to now he's got a – we got – the Kemps, if you don't know, the Kemps are now singing the song. So, yeah, it's morphed into this goofy thing. It's all for fun. I know people are probably not very happy that we're hoisting the W flag and all that good stuff. But you know what? Let's go.
Soon it'll
Let's
be
go.
Everyone's doing it. It's
everyone's you are Another you guys trend. Are trendsetters, that's for sure. If you had a walk-up song, though, back in 88, 87, 88, Andy, what would – like some Def Leppard? I mean, what were you into back then?
You know what? I was into everything. Maybe Tom Sawyer by Rush.
Yeah.
That would be a cool
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
No Milli Vanilli or anything like that.
Some Neil Peart on drums, right,
yeah,
for
yeah.
Rush?
Yeah.
I'd be down with that. I could see that. I could see that. All right. Good stuff, guys. We run out of time. We actually went a little overtime. But, yeah, thanks for coming on. Always good stories hanging out with you, Andy, and Beckett. It's been fun watching you grow from a freshman playing with your brother to now going to Arizona State and having a really good year for the Bullet Knights. But thanks for coming
thank
in.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate you guys, and good luck the rest of the way.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you for having
appreciate
us.
Appreciate it. And one last shout-out to my daughter, Arden. She's a really good athlete, too. She might be the best athlete out of all of us. So,
but is she the best competitor during Ooh. Game night, right? Like,
No?
Okay. Somebody else gets that. All right. Good stuff, guys. All right. Appreciate you. Coming in next, we got Derek Kuhn, the head coach at Liberty Madera. You're listening to 1430 ESPN. All right, that was a lot of fun having a conversation with Becca Zvorak and Dad Andy. Never a lack of good stories, especially with Andy. And you know, I've known Andy for a while. We started coaching at the same time. He at Layton, me at Emmanuel. So there's always coaching fraternities, and you know. I know this guy. I coach with this guy. For you, we're all connected in some way or another. We're going to bring in Derek Kuhn, the head baseball coach at Liberty Madera, the defending D4 Central Section champs. Team's currently 18-2 on the season and looking strong again. So thanks, Derek, for coming in. This is your first time on my show. I know you've been on Home Field Advantage with Gabe, but thanks for coming in and taking this Saturday off with
yeah,
me.
No worries. I'm excited.
So you mentioned, however, right, your dog is a little bit of issue, and you don't have any kids, so your dog is your baby,
yeah.
And you're a little worried about that, right?
That's my son. You know, he's feeling better now. Mom's with him right now, and I can't wait to just get back with him. But he's doing better now.
That's awesome. That's good to hear. All right, so you guys went 26-7 last year, currently 18-2. When I texted you earlier in the week about coming on the show, you're like, yes, Paul, hopefully you got a good win to talk about. Unfortunately, you guys lost to Fowler. They got a really good team this year. But so far at this point, after 20 games, what are you pleased with the season?
You know, I'm just pleased with how the year's gone so far. You know, it's when you get to play the level of competition that we've gotten to play with Central and Clovis East and figure out a way to win that dogfight in both of those, that's something to be proud of. And we always want to test ourselves and play in the Fresno Easter Classic. And the Fresno Easter Classic is one of the best tournaments in the state. And facing a very good Redwood team, handing us our first loss, battling them till the end, 4-3, facing Volshko. And he's legit. And they're a legit team, Division I semifinals last year. And being able to pull one out right after against Reedley, which is a quality team. And the big win that weekend was against Pleasant Grove, one of the top teams in Sacramento, and hand them a loss. And the boys just played so well. And then finish out the week with only one arm left, and Hudson Grove got it done against Edison, and going 3-1 in the Fresno Easter Classic as a base Division V team is always something to be proud of.
Yeah, you guys started off the season strong in that Redwood loss, that 4-3 on March 25th, and then the Fowler game.
Yep.
This last week. Why'd you guys only play one game this week?
So how our league works, there's two different sides. We play our side twice, but we only play the other side one time. So we only get the opportunity to play like Fowler, Riverdale, Parley, or Crothers once.
Got it.
So there's like a bye week how it works.
Okay. So you guys, you mentioned the Fresno, or the Easter Classic, sorry, yep. the Central tournament as well. You guys got those wins against Central and that 6-2 win, and then the Clovis East 4-2.
Yep.
What are those wins? I know you've scheduled a couple games last year against some really big opponents. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But what are those wins? Tell your team, right? Tell the kids.
It's just confidence. You know, it's like we're trying to get that mold that we can play with anybody anytime. And the opportunity to play Central and Clovis East is just it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity, and our boys took their best crack at it that day. And you know what? That Clovis East and Central game were both just dogfights, and we figured out a way to come up on the right side. But it just pushes us. It puts us in very uncomfortable situations, and we're either going to learn from it or we're going to be excited about it, and it's going to come our way. And luckily, it went our way this year.
So, you know, last year you scheduled Clovis North and Stockdale?
Yep.
Right? And so are you at the point with your program at Liberty and Madera where when you guys walk up into the dugout and maybe you see the other team and you see the big-time programs, obviously you're a big-time program as well, but the bigger schools, let's just frame it that way, do you feel like your program now is not intimidated by that? Like in the past, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, you'd be like, oh, dang, look at those guys. Those guys are huge. So now you're like, hey, we're playing baseball today.
No, absolutely. No, it's been a process for sure, and I like to think we're at the point where we know we can compete with anybody. You know what? There's going to be some more talented teams out there, but I feel like our team just plays together. It's a family atmosphere. Like, we have 8 returners from last year's team that are starters, and they just want to go out there and get their name remembered, and they want to do anything it takes. It doesn't matter who they're playing against.
When do you think it flipped? Like, when do you think it flipped?
Stockdale,
like, as far
last
as
year.
Stockdale. Okay.
Stockdale.
Talk
last
to me
year.
About that. Why?
Just, you know what? It was one of those things that Stockdale comes in as a defending Division I champs, great team, and we played with them. We were right there until the 5th inning. Then they started knocking around on us a little bit, but that's when I think we started to believe that we can compete with anybody. And I thought that was it, but then we played Clovis North that Monday, and Prieto humbled us a little bit, and that's okay. But once I knew our team was special, it was the next day we had to play Rigetti, who was in the Division I championship the year before, and we won an extra innings games against them. You know, it was just one of those things that they're just – the more competition that they play, and they just start to believe, and they get hot. It's fun, man. It's a lot of fun when they get hot.
Did you have to preach that to them, like say it over and over, or is that just something that just – kind of happened where maybe some of the seniors said, hey guys, we can compete with anybody? Or was it something that you and your staff had to keep saying over and over?
Yeah, we say it over and over because it's a lot of mindset. You know how it is. But once they see the results, that's when it's exciting. So like, you can talk about hitting, pitching all you want, but until they get that live experience and they start believing it as a 15, 16, 17 year old kid, that's when magic happens.
All right, let's talk about this year's team a little bit more specific, player specific. Looked at, and hey, I got to let you know, I appreciate you, whoever puts in the stats, all right, on Max Preps, man. That's just a that's just a really good thing to have. Talk about some of your players, some of your seniors, some of the guys that are standing out and playing good ball for you.
Yeah, we're very senior heavy this year. You know what? It all starts with our leader, our four-year varsity guy who's been the captain of our order, probably the best pure hitter, and I'm a little biased, but McGuire Smith, man, he's going to UC Riverside this next year, and that guy's average does not reflect on the year he's having. I'm telling you right now, he's probably had 18 lineouts this year, just absolutely torching the ball.
Well, and he's hitting 403, yeah, so what you're saying is true. He's probably hitting over 500.
Yeah, he's the best pure hitter I've ever coached. He broke the Liberty hit record as a junior. I think he's like 15th in the section ever in hits right now. But he's having a phenomenal year. He's gonna play at Riverside, and he's gonna do great things.
Left-handed bat,
first base, outfield. And then our leadoff guy, Hudson Groh, has had a great year. He's kind of set the table for us. He's having a phenomenal year, finding ways to get on base, kind of setting the table. Junior Xavier Gordon's having a good year. You know, he's one of the best catchers in the section. Daniel Sedante, Gabe Casares, Owen Lindstrom, freshman, Tyce Perez, you know, Prado. It's a fun lineup. It's a deep lineup. Like, all our seniors, Owen Lindstrom at second base. It's just, there's not many weak spots, and it's just fun to play with it and do different things with them.
Gordon, didn't he start a catcher as a freshman?
I'd never do that, but he's special. That kid is very special.
How rare is that for a freshman, especially in that high leverage of a situation, to play catcher? Talk about his growth and what you saw to him to even throw him at that spot so early.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those kids that you watch him in middle school, you watch him growing up, you know he's coming to you, and he can handle it. You know, and there were some growing pains over there, but he learned. He learned very fast, like putting him behind the plate, and especially his freshman year, he's facing Murph Gray in a semifinal game. You know, he's not intimidated, and he's just one of those kids that gives us a chance to win back there. He caught every single inning for us last year. He's caught in every single inning for us this year, and he's just our rock. He does such a great job back there and hits in our three-hole.
And if I remember right, when I watched that game when you guys played Madera South at your place, he's not that big of a kid. Has he grown a little bit?
Oh, he's grown.
Okay,
he's
there
grown.
You go.
No,
all right.
He's not a freshman.
He looked like a freshman.
Yep, exactly. Okay. He's a lot more built now.
I want to talk a little bit about your senior that you mentioned, McGuire Smith, and his left-handed swing. What's the farthest ball you've ever seen him hit?
Oh, you were there, man. You were there. That was Rawhide last year, and that ball was over the scoreboard, and you knew it off the bat. You know, that was kind of like the nail in the coffin right there, and he pieced that one up, and I've never seen a ball hit that far in my life.
And you've been around baseball for a while.
Yeah.
You've seen some dudes. All right. How about your pitching staff?
Pitching, that's our strength, man. We got Matthew Prado's leading the staff, him and Hudson Groh. Both are just dominant. You know, Prado had his first probably not elite start against Fowler, and, you know, days like that happen. But Hudson Groh, he's phenomenal. Daniel Sedante, big game pitcher, beat Frontier last year. He's huge for us always. Colton Azevedo coming out of the pen. We got Tyce Perez as a freshman, and our second baseman, Owen Lindstrom, pitches too. So we got six guys we can pitch at any time. We trust them. They pound the zone, and they just got elite stuff, man.
Well, again, thanks for whoever puts up your stats on Max Prep. So I did a little research. So as a team, you're throwing 129 innings, and you have 169 Ks. So, yeah, strikeouts are big if you could get those, you know, especially at the high school level. Yeah, and Prado's got an ERA of 1.07. Yep. Groh's 1.63. Is it pretty much set up? Are you guys Tuesday, Friday games?
Yeah, Tuesday, Friday.
So who's your Tuesday guy and who's your Friday guy? I don't want to give away too much.
No,
but
it's all good.
Probably people know.
Prado's usually – he'll go on Friday because our weeks got messed up, and Hudson will go Tuesday this week. But, you know, it's open competition. That's the thing. I got Daniel Sedante, that's a great lefty, that is chomping at the bit to get back in that starting rotation. You know, so it's – iron sharpens iron to us. You know, so if somebody doesn't produce, we got a next guy up ready to go. And I got my freshman, Tyce Perez, that's chomping at the bit. So it makes us better. So if Hudson doesn't have his best outing on Tuesday, we're going to give somebody else a nod and give somebody else a chance because we trust all six guys.
And Prado, this is a big stat for me. I love this. There's two stats that I love, one for hitter, one for pitcher. For a hitter, it's Ks versus walk. Yep. And for pitchers, it's the same thing. So he's got a 46-6 K to walk ratio, which is huge. You can't put guys on base in high school.
Yeah, he was elite. Against his best start this year was against Clovis East, five shutout innings, and he's elite, man.
So he was the dude against Clovis East.
He was the dude against Clovis East, yes sir.
Let's talk a little bit more about your program.
Yep.
You've conquered D5 and D4, right? Is that you know, I'm thinking of a program like CVC football, right? Go from D6, D5, and then they won D2 last year. Is there Is there an end goal for this, or is it like, hey, we're going to take on the best? Obviously, you've scheduled track schools. You've beaten track schools. But is there a definite, you know, way you want to go Liberty Madera baseball? You want to try to conquer D3 next, yep. D2, or what's the plan?
Well, that's always the plan. You know, to always keep moving up, and I know they're going to redo the base divisions, and I assume with the success that we've been so fortunate enough to have, we will be base D4, which will mean you go up to D3 for playoffs, and some teams will do the same. But, you know, this year we got 7 seniors, and yeah. 5 of them are consistent starters, and it's one of those things that at a small school, you go in waves. So we're going to just embrace it. The plan is never to go backwards. So we're going to work those young bucks up. We're not going to be as experienced the next year, which I'm where my feet are. I'm not thinking too much about it, but it's in the back of my mind. But we're going to get those kids ready. I love my 8th grade class coming up. I love some of the I love my Tyce Perez. It's a freshman. I got Gordon, Daniel, Sedante coming back, Colton Azevedo coming back. So we're always looking to go forward, but we know that we're going to have to work a ton harder because this group is a little bit – it's just special.
Yeah.
Because I've had the Hudson Groves, the McGuire Smiths, and the Matthew Prado since they've been freshmen, and that's the group that kind of switched the culture from D5 is acceptable to let's grow this thing.
Are you on campus? You teach, right?
So I teach. I teach at the continuation school.
Got it.
So it's about – a 30-second walk to Liberty.
All right, so remind me of how the feeder programs look or the feeder schools. So what's Liberty Madera look like right now?
So Liberty Madera, so we have Liberty Madera High School. The middle school is Rancho's Middle School, and now we have 3 elementary schools. We have one in the Riverstone complex, there's Stone Creek. We have Webster, and we have Sierra View. So we have 3 elementary schools, 1 middle school, 1 high school.
And what's baseball look like in that area? Like, are the junior high teams pretty competitive? Is there a little league or Babe Ruth program? What's that look like?
So we have a junior high team. They're very good. They're very competitive, very good talent, just trying to keep them there. Because, you know, we're in that spot where we're in the middle. In the Madera Ranchos, they can go to Madera, they can go to Memorial, they can go to Clovis West, they can go to these places if that's what those parents feel like is the best fit. But we have a good Cal Ripken program. We work with them a lot. And just trying to keep these kids here and realize that we're doing something special out here, and we want you to stay, and we want you to be a part of it. You know,
is there expansion with the housing?
Yeah,
you got the Dutch Bros right there on the
that's right.
Yeah, there you go. And that new section right there.
Yep.
So what's the expansion look like housing wise in that area?
It's just gonna keep growing. I swear. They just put a little water on that thing, and I see 10 more houses the next day. But no, it's exciting, and I think in the future another high school will be built. But hopefully we hold off on that and just keep all these kids going to one school.
How many students at the school currently?
So I think I could be wrong on this. Lord. I believe it's 720.
720,
750 in that range.
I don't know why I was thinking over 1,000.
No, like 11 or 12. I think that's next year because we have a huge 8th grade class. So like we'll be close to 1,000.
Okay. All right. I want to talk a little bit more about you, where you played high school, and then how you got the gig at Liberty Madera. Where did you start?
So I started at Central High School. So I played Central High School. Brad Fonts my sophomore year. Then he got the state gig. So he was out. But then I got the opportunity to play for Jeff Prieto, which I love. He's a great guy. I always can contact him, ask him. Got an opportunity. Ryan Smith is our pitching coach.
Wow.
Our hitting coach, outfield coach. So we work close together. And it was just a great high school experience. I love playing for that guy. I love playing for my Central buddies, who Kyle Dower, Micah Harrington, who's the head coaches at Central now. And
he's
creating memories. And then after Central, I got the opportunity to go to Simpson University. I'd like to think I had a decent career over there.
Okay.
But it was awesome. Major.
I'm going to have to look up the stats.
Yeah.
Do you want me to look up
the
stats?
You can look up the stats if you want to. I loved it there. I had an opportunity to play 4 years, grew up as a man. But I knew when I wanted to come home, I wanted my own program. So I hit up Jeff. And I was starting out at Clovis North. I was going to be the head coach of his JV team. And he knew what my vision was. And that right when I came home, that Liberty Madera opened up. So I told Jeff, I'm going to apply for this, man. This is what I want. And he kind of is like, yeah, go for it. Do it. And they took a chance on a 22-year-old kid, which is very rare, with no head coaching experiences, no really coaching experience except for travel ball. You know, and I'm just fortunate enough they saw something in me. Mike Nolte saw something in me that we hit it off. And I think it's been beneficial for both sides, I hope, in his opinion.
And that was how many years ago?
That was – I graduated in 2019, and I got the job fall of 2019.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow, what a rise in your coaching experience. Who's some of your mentors? You mentioned Prieto,
yep,
and Ryan yep. Smith, but so who are some of your other coaching mentors that have helped become help you become the coach?
Those are definitely my two guys right there. I love Jeff. he's just so knowledgeable, and I learned so much from him from playing. Ryan's just a great guy, too. I can always call either one of them. But just some guys that I look to and I just like to watch is Andy Underwood and Pappy. You know, those two guys just get it, man, especially Pap and Undy. They don't have necessarily the best talent every year, but they just outwork everybody, man. And I just try to copy them. You know, I just try to copy them the best I can and just be my best self. And just watch what they've done with Fresno High and Madera has just been absolutely outstanding. So I'm just trying to create my own mold in green and gold.
It's certainly working. I want to ask you, because I heard you mention once, you do exit interviews,
yep.
And you talk about expectations at the end of the year and what you're looking for next year. Just walk me through that process. Like, you bring the kid in with your yep. with your assistant coaches, and you have something written down. You're like, hey, this is what we saw from you this year. This is what we would like for you next year.
Absolutely. Just sit them down and just go over the year. Like, go over good things that we saw, go over things that we need to improve on, and the biggest thing is what's going to make our program better. So if we have that conversation, most of it's like, hey, we got to get in the weight room. We got to get faster. We got to get stronger. We got to get more physical. This is what we got to do with our swing. This is what we see. And just give that kid homework. And we check in on him, obviously, throughout the summer, throughout the fall. And we can tell which kids do it and which kids don't, you know. But it's having that game plan. So if they really want to be a starter and do something special with us, they're prepared and they have the map in order to get to where we need them to benefit us.
Where'd you learn that from? Where'd you pick that up from?
You know, just my dad's one of them. He installed that at me at an early age. And honestly, just pre-Smith and just being around great baseball minds, you know, just picking up what they have to say and just kind of like being a sponge. You know, when you're around great baseball minds, you just kind of shut up a little bit and you listen. You know, that's what I've learned. And I know I don't know it all. And that's why this game, I'll never know it all. So just being around those great talent guys and just soaking it all in.
And you mentioned McGuire Smith and yep. that home run that he hit last year in the Valley Championship game. And you know, I work with Steve Ramirez, who's the head baseball coach at Emmanuel. And we were talking about this a little bit yesterday. And I want to ask you this about – just walk us through what game day looks like. Let's yep. say for an away game.
Sure.
You know, you said you work at the continuation school. You have a good group of seniors, so you got some good leaders here yep. who you probably don't have to worry about, right? You know, they're going to take care of business. But – let's just say from the morning to writing out the lineup to getting the kids on the bus, however you guys are getting to games, to eating, to all that stuff. Walk us through like what a typical away game looks like for you.
Yeah, it's just wake up. I try to get a lift in so I can get my mind right a little bit and then get to school early. I usually write out the lineup, print it out, get everything I need to. I get out usually around like 12:30. Head out to the bus, get to the bus. Once we get to the field, make sure the kids use the restroom, do anything they need to do there, get a good stretch in. Then usually we hit in the cages. Hit in the cages for like 30 minutes, depending on what the cage setup is. If they have two cages, we're both there. If there's one group's in the cage, one group's doing pepper, one group's doing our bunt drills. And then just play catch, get a little progressions in and out, and just hopefully that day we bring our best self.
What about food?
Food?
Like, how are you guys sneaking that stuff in?
So usually it's lunch. Usually before we get on the bus, they have an opportunity to get some lunch in, better about like 20, 25 minutes. So some of our seniors go off campus, but most of the kids just get a bag lunch from the cafeteria.
How about mentally? You said you wake
yeah.
up, you get a lift in, right? So that probably is an important part of starting your day,
yep.
getting your mind right. But how are you mentally be able to guide yourself through a season?
Hey, you know, it's just telling these kids every single moment is what we're going after. You know, that's the mental side of it, is we're not trying to play for Rawhide right now. We're just trying to be better today. You know, I'm not worried about 5 weeks from now. I'm not worried about next week. I'm worried about Tuesday. And honestly, I'm worried about Monday. I'm worried about Monday finding a way to be prepared for Tuesday. So just telling our kids that we're just going to be where our feet are. We're going to be focused, and we're going to win pitch by pitch.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
That is absolutely good stuff. I'm going to bring up your schedule here.
Yeah.
So who – you could probably tell me, obviously.
Yeah.
So who do you got next week?
So we got Minarets. You know, Minarets is a good quality team. They have one of the best pitchers in the section. It's not talked about as often as he should be with Mason Medina. And he always gives us fits. And he's a great, great pitcher. So I can't wait to go off against him and just compete.
So then you got Yosemite,
yep.
Sierra, Carruthers for one game. Is that true? You got Edison?
Yep, Edison. Those are some of my guys too, Jamil and Brandon. Man, I look up to Brandon and Jamil so much over there. And he's doing a heck of a job at Edison. And you want to try to schedule a game that Friday right before playoff starts, high energy, high competitiveness to get both of us ready. So that guy I look up to too. I can't believe I forgot to mention him. But
he's
Brandon,
amazing.
Brandon
he's amazing.
And Jamil, he's just changing that program, man. I'm going to tell you that Edison's back with that guy. Those two guys running the helm, they're unbelievable.
I agree. I'm trying to get him on the show.
Yeah.
Randy, if you're listening, got to get you on. But, yeah, so playoffs, Don't want to think about it. Yep. You're thinking about the games ahead of you. I want to ask you, Derek, we got a couple minutes here.
Yeah.
A little more personal stuff. Who's your favorite Major League Baseball team?
I'm a Cardinals fan. I love St. Louis.
How'd that happen?
You know, I just love Chris Carpenter and Albert Pujols growing up, and I just fell in love with them. And David Eckstein, you know, just awesome, man. I love the colors. I love the town. And nobody here is a Cardinals fan, so I like to be a little different.
Yeah, it is a little bit different. Yeah, I mean, Pujols, obviously, following his career. David Eckstein.
Yep.
Mentioned him a little bit on the broadcast, how they called – his nickname was Just Enough.
Yep.
Because he had just enough ability, just enough arm to make that throw to first base. So
just gritty.
Which Major League Baseball player do you identify yourself with most? Like, if somebody would describe you, watch
probably
you at Simpson?
Come on. What do you got?
Well, what position did you play? I don't know that.
I played all infield. My junior year, my sophomore year, played second, freshman, sophomore year. Then I moved to first because we brought in a JC shortstop who was unbelievable. So moved over to first my junior year, then got to play shortstop my senior year back, kind of where I grew up playing. But if I had to compare myself to somebody, man, I don't know. It's probably Ryan Terrio.
Okay.
just a guy that plays
Cubs
good defense.
Game.
Absolutely.
You mentioned a Cubs guy, right? And he played for the Cubs?
He played the Cardinals and the Cubs. I think he played for a lot of teams.
I think he did. I think he was a journeyman and played a little bit. Had a nice little career. Made himself some money. So good stuff. All right, Derek. So really appreciate you coming on. I hear nothing but great things about you, and relationships with other coaches are fantastic. So you're doing great things at Liberty Madera. Extremely well-run program, and it shows the product you're putting on the field is excellent. So congratulations on all your success so far, and good luck in the future.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Everything you guys do for local sports is amazing, man. I just hope to get you out to a game here soon.
We're going to try it. We're going to try. You're on our list for sure. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to Joe Gomez back at home base for producing the show. Obviously, thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, First String Sports, George Takata, a good conversation about Coach Vance Wahlberg. Andy and Beckett Zvorak from Bullard Baseball, and just had a great conversation with Derek Kuhn, the head baseball coach of Liberty Madera. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.